Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Edumacation Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Okay, edumacate me.
It's a little late for that, I think. You know, but we did get an interesting letter from a young woman named Sophie Erickson, and she says the following.
Yeah.
Dear Tom and Ray, I'm a 17-year-old high school student. All the 11th graders were required to take a test to see what career would be best for us. Now, I'm a big fan of your show, and when I got to the automotive part of the test, the questions were easy, because listening to you guys had obviously sharpened my automotive skills.
Mm.
When we got the results back, I had failed the automotive part. And they suggested a career in interior decorating. Well, thanks anyway, Sophie.
That's terrible. We completely failed this poor little girl.
Well, I don't think so.
No?
No, I think they realized she was overqualified for automotive work.
Overqualified?
Yeah, they figured if she knows that much at 17, she'll never be a big enough screw-up to do what we do.
No, that's true.
So congratulations, Sophie. Good work. You dodged a bullet there, kid. Anyway, if you have any car questions and you can't reach Sophie, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Lisa, and I'm calling from Sebastopol in Sonoma, California.
Hi, Lisa.
Ah.
What's going on?
I have a 1975 mustard yellow Mercedes 240D that I called Dwight, and I've been fixing up with my dad.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So I just drove Dwight from Minnesota to California. I'm here to make wine. And Dwight got a few bumps and bruises along the way.
So you're there, what are you there for, like the weekend?
No.
A month.
For the harvest.
Oh, for the harvest.
Yes.
Oh.
So Dwight, along the way, decided to lose the wheel that holds the AC belt, and it just kind of came off along the highway.
The idler pulley.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Sure. And then, so the belt came off, and I heard a grinding sound for about an hour. Kind of ignored it, eventually pulled over and realized that the wheel that you just mentioned
the idler
fell
pulley?
Down.
Oh, it was resting against the crankshaft pulley.
It fell down, and it was against another belt, grinding away. So I took that out, and then I looked at this AC belt that's just hanging there, and I decided to just cut it off with a hacksaw.
Lisa, you're a genius.
So I cut it off with a hacksaw, and then I continue on my journey, and I drive about another 3,000 miles, and I'm in California.
You made it, huh?
I made it. And the car is running on two belts, and I'm wondering if I can just keep it this way or if I need to do anything about it.
Well, let's go back to the grapes for a second.
Okay.
You see, you're there for the harvest. What exactly are you going to be doing? Are you going to be a stomper, a picker? What are you doing?
Yes. No, I'm going to be a harvest intern. So I get to do a little bit of everything and a lot of manual labor.
Oh, so you just volunteer to be like an indentured servant.
Exactly.
Because you want to learn what goes into.
All right.
Thing or two about making wine, so that's hopefully the plan.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow,
that sounds great.
Yeah.
So, what kind of wine are you going to be making? You know,
I'm going to be making Pinot Noir, Cab, and Chardonnay.
Excellent.
Oh, we expect a case of each.
Yeah, probably about 500 barrels.
Wow, that is really exciting.
Yeah.
Anyway, the pieces that fell off.
Yes.
And my brother's an expert on this because every car he's owned,
everything's fallen off.
Right. And when things fall off and the car keeps running, and obviously you drove many hundreds of miles.
Yes.
With the AC not working.
Correct.
So the pieces that fell off you don't need.
Evidently not.
Evidently not. I hope not.
Because on your car, unlike modern cars, see, modern cars have one belt pretty much that drives everything.
Okay.
And your car has a dedicated belt for each device. So you had a dedicated belt for the air conditioning.
Yep.
And when that idler pulley seized up and fell off. The air conditioner clearly stopped. It had been working, I imagine, up until that point.
It was a pretty weak air conditioning. It was pretty much just blowing hot air, but it made a big noise when it came on, so it tried to give me some AC.
Yeah. You might be better off carrying a block of ice in your lap.
I chewed ice pretty much the whole way to California to keep me cool. So.
But the short answer to your question is you don't need these pieces.
Okay.
Yeah, leave them off.
Okay.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, now that the air conditioner doesn't work, you can take that off too. Take the compressor out.
Okay.
Yeah, you get better mileage.
Yeah.
We call it decontenting.
Okay. Anything else I should be taking off of my car?
No, don't worry. The pieces that need to come off, they'll alert you.
Yeah, okay. they'll come off by themselves.
Okay.
All right. Well, have fun with your harvest.
Thank you so
much. And your stomping and we'll be looking for your wine.
Great. Thanks so much.
See you, Lisa.
Have a good day.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. Hey, what's that thing growing on your face there? Oh, that's your nose. it keeps getting bigger and bigger. I hadn't noticed.
It does, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know, but look the other way.
Bonk! Boom! Every time I turn my head.
Yeah, you keep hitting the microphone.
Hit the microphone.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Hannah from the lovely town of Granby, Connecticut.
Hannah from Granby. Hannah. I've heard Granby is a lovely town.
Have you really?
No.
You just made it up.
I thought so.
So why do you claim it's a lovely town? It must be, huh?
Well, I have to claim that because I live here, and it's part of the obligation.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're with you then.
All right. Granby
it is.
Lovely Granby. So what's up, Hannah?
Yes. So my dad has a 2008 Toyota Tundra, and he is using it to play a horrible repetitive prank on me.
Oh, what's he doing?
Really?
So normally, because the truck is so big, he leaves it parked out of the garage.
Uh-huh.
So when I walk out of the house and through the garage, he lays on the horn for about 5 seconds and scares the living daylights out of me.
Oh, so is Dad like driving you to school with the truck?
Not always driving me to school. This mostly happens like on the weekends and you have to go to like the supermarket or something.
Yeah.
And it's not the hurry up and get to the car kind of beep. It's I'm doing this purely to bug you.
Oh. Now, can I ask how old are you, Hannah?
I am 11 and a half.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah. You're a very articulate young lady.
Thank you.
And I think you have the necessary intellect to pull a prank on dear old dad.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what can we do?
So how insidious would you like this to be? Let me see.
I would like this to be a very good prank that will make him not do it ever again.
Ah, how about shoe polish on the steering wheel? You think that might do it?
I would love to do something that either makes it so that he knows who he's messing with, or just do something that makes it so that he won't ever do it again.
Yeah, so...
Let's see, what can we do?
Well, maybe...
We don't want to hurt the guy.
Well, unless we have to.
I don't mind.
You know, so he's obviously doing... Your dad's a prankster. Is there anyone else in the household on whom he pulls these pranks?
No, because my little sister is 6.
Oh.
And so she can't really take it, and... He can't exactly do it to my mom because then there will be some trouble.
There'll be trouble, right? And you can't cause enough trouble yet. I have to warn you, however, that prankism, I guess I have to call it that, can lead to severe escalation.
Yeah.
So once you retaliate here, for example, if you were to Vaseline the toilet seat or do something like that. And by the way, that's a great prank.
That is a great idea.
Or Saran wrap it. That's even better.
Maybe I should put Vaseline on the toilet seat and shoe polish on the steering wheel.
I think so. But be warned that it's going to lead to some serious escalation. So what you need to do is, I think, to really kind of shake him up without doing anything to the car, the truck first.
Yeah.
Right.
Is to get yourself a henna tattoo. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I've always wanted one.
You've always wanted one. Oh, I think you ought to get a couple of them.
Time to get it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Say, Dad.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Say, Dad.
My friend knows a guy who does them. This is perfect.
Yeah, and of course you try to hide it.
Like on my shoulder blade or something.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And then by accident you let him see it.
Oh, maybe you get your sister to tell you, hey, they got a tattoo, Daddy.
Oh, Molly would love that.
Yeah.
Oh, she would love it.
How's his heart? Is his heart in good shape?
For now.
For now.
We'll take care of that.
Yeah. And make sure he chases you around the house.
I'll be wearing my sneakers.
Yeah, and then you have to run and lock yourself in the truck and sit there and blow the horn for 5 minutes. and say, can we stop this now?
Yes.
And that might do it. But if you need more help with pranks, you know who to call.
Yes.
Hannah?
Yes.
Good luck.
And I have one quick question for you.
Yeah.
So I've been wondering ever since I started listening to the show, which was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Who is Click and who is Clack?
We can't divulge that.
It's
an FCC rule. I wish we could, but we can't.
No, we can't.
All right. Okay.
All right.
You know why?
All right.
We don't know.
We don't know. There you go.
I had a feeling about that, too.
Good luck, Hannah. And we're dying to find out what the fallout from all of this is.
All right.
I would, but by the way, I wouldn't get anything but a very understated tattoo.
Oh, yes.
He's going to flip out no matter what.
Oh, yes. This is wonderful because he sits next to me at the table.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect is right.
Perfect. Yes.
All right, boy, we're dying. Oh, boy. Keep us posted.
Let us know how it goes.
And let us know how many weeks. Let us know how many weeks you're grounded after this.
Yeah, I'll let you know that, too.
All right. See you, Hannah.
Okay.
Sorry, bye.
Oh, I love it. Well, the old man must be a lot of fun, too.
Oh, not anymore.
He won't be after this. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jeff from Long Island.
Jeff. Hi, Jeff. What's happening, man?
Well, you know, it's not even winter yet. There's no snow yet, and I'm just worried about the winter with my car. Seems like last winter I couldn't get out of my driveway a couple of times. And, you know, being in law enforcement, I got to get to work on time. I can't call in and say I can't make it out. It's snowing.
Oh, do you work in the city?
Actually, I work on Eastern Long Island.
Oh, even farther away from where you live, probably in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to relocate.
I'll take that up with the high command.
Yeah.
But I live in a village, and they wait till the end to plow the dead end. So when there's 6 inches of snow, it's hard for me to get out. I have a 2007 3 Series BMW.
Oh, just a two-wheel drive?
Actually, it's all-wheel drive.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I was thinking, I didn't use the manual shift on it. It's an automatic, but as the manual shift, I thought maybe if I shifted into low, I'd have a better chance of getting out of the driveway. Or I know that I'm limited to the tires I can use because I have to run flats.
You need a good quality snow tire. So the tires you have on there are the same ones you use in the summer?
The all season.
Okay, so here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You need to go get a home equity loan so you can buy yourself 4 wheels and 4 Nokia Hakkia Polita snow tires.
Okay, let me write that down.
I don't ask me how to spell Hakkia Polita, but I know how to spell Nokia, N-O-K-I-A.
Okay.
And I think if you had 4 of those, and the thing you want to do is buy 4 wheels and mount the snow tires on them, and then you can store them at your in-law's house. So don't have to clutter up your garage.
I think they'd rather have the tires there than me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Of course.
So you store these tires during the nicer weather, and then when the bad weather comes, you flip them and you put these on. And the nice thing about them is you can do them the day before it snows because you don't have to have them mounted. They're already mounted. You just have to install them as if you were changing a flat tire.
Okay.
But I think there's nothing better for you, and you can try all kinds of different gears and all that, but I think the real determinant is having the best snow tires you can get.
Now, since I have the run flats, I don't think I have room for a spare.
You're not going to need no stinking spare.
No.
Well, I suppose if you didn't mind putting one of those run flats in your trunk and taking up some of your trunk space, that would be your spare tire.
It would take up my trunk.
Hey, who told you to buy this car?
It looks good. It looked good.
I know. But
it drove nice when there was no snow.
But
on
look
the
at Jeff. It's only for 5 months of winter. I mean, how bad?
But I got to take the kids to school, so I'm kind of stuck. I don't, you know. I could put one of the kids in the trunk, but I think I'd rather put the tire in the trunk.
Yeah, but, you can get one of those racks that you put on your roof, you know, that ski, the tulies.
Oh, that's great. That'll look good.
You like that, huh?
I love it. I can't wait good. To hear the noise of the tire on the roof. That's yeah.
Oh, no, the tire will be inside this. You won't even hear it. It'll be great.
I'll turn the radio up.
Yeah, throw some skis in there. It'll make you look like you're a ski bum. Good luck, Jeff.
Thank you, guys.
Send us a picture when you got in a snowdrift. Take it easy, man.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tommy, it's time for your weekly puzzler hints. Are you ready?
Ready and willing, sir.
Okay, here's the first one. Some lowlife accosts you on the street and says, "Hey, pal, your brother's puzzlers are bogus." Hmm. So you haul off and blank him.
Oh, high five. Okay.
No, you'll clock him, man. Where's your loyalty?
Clock him off. Okay.
Here's your second hint. A few years back, a Hollywood agent offered us a part in a big show, but we got fired because you kept forgetting your blank.
I remember this. It was my half of the horse suit.
That's it. No, your lines, man.
Oh, I lines.
The puzzler was about drawing
and lines
on a clock face, and we'll be back with the details in just a minute. I've got a car and a little cash. I've got a high octane so I can drive fast. I might head west for the glitter of gold. I might head east where the streets are old. And it's about time to get out of here. And even though police report that car radio theft drops 97% whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's challenging little puzzler, which my brother is still working on.
I am. And I'm trying to find a shortcut. I mean, obviously, if trial and error. Go ahead. Explain us what the question
well,
is.
Well, this is from my series of clock puzzlers.
Yeah.
And here it is. I instructed everyone to take a piece of paper and draw a clock face. And put the numbers in, you know, 12, 1, 2, 3, all the way around mm-hmm. to 11. And then next, I instruct you to draw two straight lines on the face of the clock so that the clock was divided into sections. You can do it. You can have either three sections or four sections by doing this. If the lines intersect someplace, you will wind up with four sections. If they don't intersect, you will wind up with three sections. And the puzzle is this. Draw these lines so that the sum of the numbers in each section are equal.
Yeah.
Is that pretty straightforward?
It is pretty straightforward. I've got it.
You've got it.
Well, I didn't put all the numbers on the clock, though. I only put four numbers.
Four numbers, really?
I put the 12, the 3, the 6, and the 9, and it was simple. How much is 12 and 3?
15.
How much is 9 and 6?
17.
I'm all done.
Well, that might be a good way to approach it.
All I wondered.
Well, as a matter of fact, if you draw the lines so that you start at a point between the 10 and the 11.
Okay, I'm with you. And you go to
and
where?
You connect that to a point between the 2 and the 3.
Gee, I had that much.
That's a line number 1.
And that adds up to 23, 24, 25, 26.
There you go. Now you take a point between the 8 and 9.
Yeah.
And a point between the 4 and 5 and connect those two dots.
4 and 5.
And you will wind up with a section that's 8, 7, 6, 5, which I believe adds up to 26.
Mm-hmm.
And 10, 9, 4, 3, which also adds up to 26. So you wind up with three sections, each of which is 26.
Is this the only solution to this problem?
Absolutely. I have researched the bejesus out of this. No, see, the problem that I think most people would run into is they would think the lines would have to intersect.
Yeah.
But in fact, by not intersecting them and making three sections, you come up with the only solution, I believe.
Okay. You're thinking that's the answer? Well, we know it is an answer, and now all you need is one. I mean, how many answers can one person
have? Exactly. So who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Sarah Taylor from Marlborough, Massachusetts. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Sarah's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a copy of our latest CD of disrespectful car music called Stairway to Heepdom.
This is a follow-up to Born Not to Run. Anyway, Stairway to Heepdom includes such future classics as The Mechanic Shrug, Sexy Volvo.
Now, there's a contradiction in terms.
And the ever-popular 90-pound housewife driving her SUV. All of the most requested songs you've heard between segments here on Car Talk.
Well, congratulations, Sarah, for being this week's Puzzler winner.
We'll have a brand new Puzzler coming up in the third half. I might say quasi-automotive.
Yes, Mister.
Historic.
Quasi-automotive. Let me write this down. Quasi-automotive. Historic.
Folkloric.
Oh.
Challenging.
Yeah.
And potentially bogus.
Potentially bogus.
So bear with us while we stumble through the automotive stuff that's coming up. And better yet, if you have a question about your car, especially an easy one, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-82-2782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Seattle.
Hi, Julie from Seattle. What's happening?
Well, I have a 72 VW Beetle. It's my daily driver. And I recently took it into my mechanic, and he brought it back saying that it was running on 3.5 cylinders and that their recommendation was a new or rebuilt engine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I don't even know how it could run on 3.5 cylinders, and I'm wondering, how long can I drive it?
I'd like to see that half a cylinder, actually.
I would too, actually, because I asked.
Well, you've been driving this car?
Yeah.
And you haven't noticed anything?
Oh, yeah. I did.
Oh, you have? Oh, okay.
Oh, I did. That's why I took it in for the tune-up.
It's been running rough.
It's been running really rough.
Ah, okay.
Very sluggish, no power.
Ah.
And, I live on a hill and barely can get up the hill. And terrible gas mileage. But I thought that it just needed a tune-up.
Uh-huh.
Sure. And that's an easy mistake to make because it's running rough. You take it in, you do a tune-up. I mean, these in their day, these things needed a tune-up every 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But now what's happened is you have, and the reason he says you're running on 3.5 cylinders is you have one cylinder that has half the compression that it should. And as such, it's contributing only half as much as it should to the overall power of the engine, which wasn't a whole lot to begin with. I don't even know what the horsepower of this thing was, but it was probably 70. You know, maybe at the start out it had 70 horsepower. Now you're probably down to 55.
You know, my first thought is forget it, just get rid of it. But, you know, I love V-dubs. And it's bright orange, and it actually has brought me business.
That's true. I mean, there's nothing as eye-catching as an old Volkswagen. I mean, the new one is wonderful, but it doesn't have the cachet.
You know, at the gas station, people are always asking me or telling me that, oh, that was my first car. You know,
But has anyone offered to buy it?
Yeah. No.
If they are, get their phone numbers.
But, well, you know, a new or rebuilt engine, do those cost? A
couple of $1,000.
Yeah.
But you'll have your car back and it'll run magnificently.
Yeah.
You gotta do it.
You don't
sure.
sound too excited about it, though. You think you sound like it's time to move on.
Well,
I'm gonna recommend a car to you.
Yeah.
That I fell in love with recently.
What is it?
The Fiat 500.
Oh my gosh. My friend just got a rental of that car.
And?
She loved it.
There you go.
It's your time.
Yeah, you got to get the convertible. It has a canvas top that rolls back like a Roman shade. very appropriately like a Roman shade, seeing it's an Italian car. And it's just a fun car to drive. And it's a thousand times safer than what you're driving.
The VW Beetle isn't safe?
Would have been living in a cave? Where the hell have you been? No,
it's 100 years old. What do you expect?
Yeah, no, it doesn't have ABS. It doesn't have the right kind of seat belts. It's got the gasoline tank in front. It's built out of old cigarette lighters. I mean, it's got, it isn't safe. I'm telling you, the 500C is a fun car to drive. When you get behind that wheel, you will start to giggle.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out.
Well, how long do you think that I can drive on 3 and a half cylinders?
Long enough to get to
about an hour.
Long enough to get to the Fiat dealer and make a deposit on the car. And I'm going to guess that they're going to sell like hotcakes.
Okay, well, thank you very
much. All right,
much.
See you,
Good
Julie.
Luck.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. I should add that I am not a stockholder or have any financial stake in Fiat Company, although I probably should be. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stephen calling from Oakland, California.
Stephen, what's going on, man?
We have a 1994 Mercury Villager that won't stop smoking marijuana. and it nearly got me arrested.
It won't stop smoking marijuana? How is this? Explain me, Lucy.
Yeah, explain me.
So it's my fiancé Jill's van.
Oh, sure. Throw her under the bus. She's going to get arrested.
she's the first one going under.
Yeah.
She's called into court. A year and a half ago, she had the engine mount replaced, and that day after she picked it up, we got this strong smell of marijuana coming from the driver's side of the engine compartment. It took us a few trips to believe or be sure that it was really coming from the van. We just figured that we had a mechanic with glaucoma that left a little medicine behind, and then we just were expecting it to eventually blow away or burn up. And it hasn't. It's still there.
And you smell the aroma. Not that I would know what marijuana smells like, but you smell the aroma wafting into the passenger compartment?
No, we don't smell it ever in the passenger compartment. It actually has faded a bit, and now it only is after a long drive. So when we drive more than an hour, and then it's when you get out of the van after you park, and then it hits you, especially if you're coming out the driver's side.
And he replaced a motor mount?
Yes, the engine mount.
Two engine mounts?
I believe so, yes.
Can you tell where the smell is coming from?
You know, surprisingly, opening the hood, it actually smells the strongest from the outside on the driver's side.
Yeah, I don't think it's marijuana. I think it's something that smells like marijuana. And the way you're going to find out is you're going to drive the bejeebers out of this thing for 2 or 3 hours, get it really hot so it's really producing the smell, and then pull into an enclosed area like a garage, close the door, shut off the engine, and sit there with the thing for as long as it takes for you to get high. So the engine is...
I'll just say, we were in Yosemite National Park.
Get yourself a couple of pizzas first.
Well, I got pulled over for rolling through a stop sign, and then there was a park ranger, well, actually several park rangers, who we then spent a good couple hours convincing that we weren't trafficking drugs in federal land. And they were pretty sure that it smelled distinctly of marijuana.
I know what you need. You need one of those dogs. You need a drug-sniffing dog.
Ah.
Right? Those dogs are great at finding stuff like that. That's all they're trained to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to somehow appeal to the local authorities that you need help with this, because you may be an unwitting accomplice here. Maybe someone is using your truck to smuggle dope.
It is something we had not considered.
Yeah. Did she buy the car used, your fiancé?
No, she inherited it from her brother.
Oh,
the brother.
The brother. Arrest my case. So what correctional institution is he in now?
He's in sales.
Yeah, we know that. Jeez. Well, it could be that when they were doing, maybe there was a stash underneath the hood. And when they were doing the motor mounts, you know, they have to lift up the engine in order to do this. Maybe something got dislodged, and maybe little bits of this are falling onto the hot exhaust system, like the exhaust manifold or maybe the header pipe.
All right.
Either that or it's some solvent that was used that smells like marijuana, but the aroma of marijuana is kind of unmistakable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're going to go to jail, man. Well, I mean, what's the worst-case scenario is there really is some, you know, some stash under the hood, and they find it, and then you have to prove that it isn't yours.
So, I mean, we've looked around a little bit, and we don't think there's anything.
You need the dog.
Sizable.
Throw yourself on the mercy of the court, Stephen. Go in and tell them that your smuggling days are over, and you can't find this one last shipment, and you need help. Good luck, brother.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye. Oh, bye. Boy, who screens these calls anyway?
You know, that's exactly what my question was going to be. Doesn't anyone screen these calls?
I think they do. They let all the nut jobs through. Hello? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there. This is Mandy from Chicago.
Hi, Mandy from Chicago. What's
Mandy.
Going on?
I have a 99 Suzuki Grand Vitara, and in the last month or so, I've been having issues getting my key out of the ignition. So I can turn it on and everything just fine, but when I'm trying to take the key out when I'm parked, it just kind of is stuck there, and I have to go back and forth a few times, and sometimes I just get lucky and it pops out.
It pops out, and anything special that you can say you've done to the key recently, like use it as a can opener?
No, nothing like that. And I actually did try my spare key just to make sure it worked.
Yeah.
And I was having the same problem. But I have actually, my boss recommended that I should spray some WD-40 in there, but I didn't think that was a good idea, so I haven't really done anything to
it. Oh, in where the key goes.
Yeah.
Well, you can try that. In fact, there are probably better things than WD-40. There's a product called Lockies, which I believe is a graphite compound of some kind. And it's maybe graphite and silicone mixed together, and you can spray that in there. And it may be that the lock, that's the thing that the key goes into, is just a little bit lazy.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes...
It's not the key because both keys did it.
Yeah.
Well, it could be other things, and the key won't come out either unless the steering wheel lock gets engaged. So have you tried, whilst you were trying to get the key out...
What was that, whilst?
Whilst.
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 Wow.
Well, you know, we have a lot of British listeners, you know.
So I love it.
I thought I'd throw that in.
Whilst. I haven't heard that all week.
If you thought that might work, you could jiggle the steering wheel back and forth while you're trying to get the key out.
Okay, and I have tried that, too. And
oh, you have.
But you were trying it while you were trying to get the key out, but then you'd try it whilst.
No, I haven't tried it whilst. So I suppose I should do that next.
Well, that could be it. I mean, it could require that someone has to take the steering column apart and see what's going on with the steering wheel lock. And that's why you can't get the key out. Because that last step, when you turn the key to what's called the lock position, that is what's locking the steering wheel. And I don't know how it works in the Grand Vitara, but if it's like lots of other cars, there's usually a pin that has to enter a little slotted disc. It may be that needs some lubrication.
Okay, but it may not be a super expensive thing.
Oh, well, it might be.
It will be. Okay.
It might be. I mean, it could be the cylinder lock that's faulty.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing that you're going to spray the WD-40 in, or as our suggestion suggests, Lockies.
Okay, and so actually, I was planning on getting a new car this spring. So if it ends up being one of the more expensive things, is this something that I should just get rid of it now?
No. What you should do is make a second key.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the second key you would use to lock the door while you leave the other key in the ignition.
Okay, perfect.
Right? Because it does turn the engine off.
Yeah.
But you probably notice when you can't get this out, it won't lock the wheel. Can you get the thing in park?
I can.
You can. So you can turn the key back as far as you can. It will go into park. You just can't take the key all the way out. Oh, so if you had to, you could have a second key made, leave the key in the ignition, throw a jacket over it so no one could see it, and hope that someone steals it. You won't have to worry about a trade-in.
Perfect. Okay, that sounds awesome.
Good luck, Mandy.
Thank you.
See you later.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Oh, man.
Well, look, before we get into the new puzzler, I have to stretch my legs.
Yeah, stretch mine too. I'm so tired.
We'll be back with a rousing new puzzler in just a minute, so don't go away.
Whoa! baby. Come on back. Oh, you got something that I sure do like, and that's that black Cadillac. That black Cadillac in my mind. Yeah, that black Cadillac, baby. That's what I like.
And even though grocery store workers fantasize about putting paper and plastic bags over our heads whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Folkloric.
Quasi-automotive.
Quasi-automotive. Mister.
Historic.
Historic. Challenging.
And all that
and
stuff.
And possibly bogus.
There's always that
There's
possibility.
Always that possibility.
This came from, and I like it, so I'm going to use it. This came from a fellow named Larry Hall out in cyberspace someplace. He writes, accept this Puzzler, and I can die a happy and fulfilled man.
Oh, great.
And
to his wife, who was planning to kill him, tonight's the night.
All right, don't miss your chance. I'm gonna basically read what he wrote, and I may change a few things here. And
I'm sure you will.
And I wanna preface the reading of the Puzzler by saying that there are hints embedded
everywhere. Most of them subliminal.
most of them are bogus, but yeah. there are a few hints.
If you get the secret click and clack decoder, you can actually hear these subliminal hits.
Exactly. And it's only $29.95, not sold in stores. All right, here we go. John knew he had secured his fortune. After his father died in Dearborn, Michigan, John began cleaning out the attic, you know, and most of the attic contained stuff that he had collected for 70 years or so. But while going through a scrapbook, he came across the treasure of a lifetime. It was an original letter to none other than Henry Ford, signed by President William McKinley himself.
Wow.
And this was the letter as it came on White House stationery. In the upper left-hand corner, it says, The White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., March 3rd, 1898, addressed to Henry Ford, 58 Bagley Avenue, Detroit, Michigan. Dear Mr. Ford, we received your letter dated February 1st. This letter is written to thank you for your offer to present a gift of one two-cylinder, four-cycle gasoline engine-powered quadricycle that you have developed in your workshop in Detroit for use by the president. And while such a vehicle is of high interest to machinists and hobbyists, I do not feel the automobile can be perfected to replace the safety and comfort of the carriages we have available to us here at the White House. Please feel free to write again should you ever design and manufacture standard horse-drawn buggies. Wow. I will happily forward that information to my Treasury Secretary, Lyman J. Gage, for possible procurement. Until that time, I must thank you for, and yet decline, your generous offer. Sincerely, William McKinley, President of the United States.
Wow!
Now, knowing that this letter would bring a fortune from historians and collectors of old useless junk, okay, he takes the letter to the curator of the Henry Ford Museum in Detroit.
Yeah.
The curator expressed surprise and great interest at the find, but after several readings, he looked at him and said,
It's bogus!
Exactly. And how did the curator know?
I know.
No?
It was typed on a word processor.
There was a zip code associated
HP,
the White House 221.
Printed on an HP desk. Yeah. The zip code. White House 32101.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. Or better, engrave it on the back of a John Deere 4100 four-wheel drive compact utility tractor with 20 horsepower, three-cylinder, liquid-cooled diesel engine and heated cab, and drive it over to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. And by the way, if you would like to read the letter in its entirety, you can go to our website. And by the way, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com to
whoopee.
In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Wolfgang calling from across Harvard Square.
Oh, is this Wolfgang Ruckner,
our
physicist, expertise guy? Who's...
I heard you guys put out a call concerning a poop question.
Oh, yes.
I believe we did.
Yeah.
We had a caller that wanted to know if she could get a broken window from bird poop. In other words, is there enough kinetic energy there to break a window?
Yeah,
because she claims it happens.
Yeah.
And I felt that sure, but I guess you're calling us to maybe
tell them.
Dispute that. Well, perhaps.
You know, it's a hard thing to calculate when you don't know all the details.
Never stopped us.
Because the impulse that the windshield gets from the thing that drops on it is equal to the change in momentum of the thing that's dropping on it. And so you have to know its momentum. You have to know its mass and its velocity. So that's something I'm going to have to guess.
Right.
So, from the size of the splat, she said it was 4 inches in diameter. And, you know, guessing it was maybe an eighth of an inch thick, it left sort of a disc. I can imagine or calculate what the volume of that would be, and you come up with something like the size of a golf ball or a ping pong ball.
A ping pong ball, yeah. But obviously not the same density.
Right. Well, there's the other problem.
Right.
What is the density of this thing? And God knows what the bird ate. I assumed a density sort of halfway between water and sandstone. And use that for calculating how much this thing weighs.
Right. It's certainly got to be more than water.
Yeah. And then as far as, you know, the velocity, I'm just going to assume that the bird is so high up that the poop reached terminal velocity.
And what is the terminal velocity?
That's the other problem, because that's going to depend on the density of the object, the poop. It's going to depend on the shape, because the shape gives it a different drag coefficient.
But the shape is ideal. It's a spheroid. I mean,
well,
it'll get a lot better than that, right?
I've seen pictures of birds defecating in the air like seagulls, and it's not a pretty sight, and it's not a sphere.
Oh, it's an old blade, eh?
It's more like a long link sausage.
Really?
But I'm going to assume it's a sphere. You know, worst case scenario.
I won't be having sausage and eggs anymore.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Given that, there's a whole range of different drag coefficients. And so I come up with a terminal velocity anywhere between like 45 and 85 miles per hour.
Wow.
So knowing that and making a guess as to how massive this thing is, I can come up with a momentum and therefore calculate the impulse.
What do you got?
Yeah, well, I come up with a number, which is absolutely meaningless to me. I don't know anything about how much, you know, impulse it takes to break a windshield.
Yeah.
So what I had to do was compare it with something I do know, and unhappily, last winter, I was driving at night, and all of a sudden there was this bang on the windshield, and apparently someone had thrown a stone and hit the windshield. And the next morning when I got out and looked at the car, I saw that there was a tiny crack, like 2 or 3 inches.
Sure.
And I guess that's where the stone had hit. So I was traveling maybe 40 miles per hour. Knowing that a stone can do that damage,
at 40 miles an hour,
I calculated what the momentum of the stone was and what the impulse was, and compare it with my unknown.
Huh.
So it turns out the stone would crack my windshield just a little bit, had about 3 times the momentum that the bird poop could possibly have. So I find it very, very dubious.
But what if the bird were passing a stone?
It would be a tiny one.
Jeez, we don't know, do we?
You never know.
There's some big birds out there.
I mean, it's very dubious. And the other thing that it's got going against it is the fact that the poop goes splat. It's not a hard object. This reminds me of a story. I don't know if this story is true, but I heard it about 15 years ago. Supposedly, the FAA has this unique device.
Oh, for shooting chickens at...
Yeah, you know about it.
At plane
it
windshields. Yeah, well, I heard it from you, so it must be true.
The British were interested in borrowing this device to test the windshield on their new high-speed train, and so they used it, and the chicken went through the windshield and embedded itself in the back wall, and they were just stunned. So they sent all the data to the FAA and said, you know, what's going on here? And they got a very brief reply and recommendation, and they said, use a defrosted chicken.
Oh, defrosted chickens. So I guess maybe
what's going on here, too. I mean, we have a defrosted poop.
We have a defrosted poop.
Which is not as bad as a stone. I'm not saying it's absolutely impossible, but it's very, very unlikely. And I suspect maybe there was already some stress in the windshield, and this was the last straw.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if the car was sitting out in the sun all day, which I think she said it was, maybe there was some differential heating where the poop absorbed more heat and you had this gradient. And if it was stressed, maybe it made a crack.
And we also know that windshields break for no apparent reason. It's often the case, and we see it in our shop, that someone will come in with a windshield that just shattered.
Oh.
You know, after being parked in the sun and wasn't hit by anything.
Oh.
So it may be just expansion and who knows what is going on. Maybe there was a weakness in the glass. So I think she hit the perfect storm, so to speak, here.
Weak glass,
high temperature, high terminal velocity, maybe an embedded stone, you know, large bird.
All of those.
All of those things combined to create the perfect storm of a bird poop windshield incident.
Right.
You know,
so like I said, not impossible, but unlikely. And if you put all those factors in, you got the perfect storm.
Well,
yeah.
Wolfgang, we're very grateful to you and also very happy that we don't know anywhere near as much physics as you do, because we spend hours answering these questions properly. We got rid of her in about 2 minutes. So. Thanks again for your help.
Always fun talking to you.
Yet again, you've bailed us out.
All right.
See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary from South Carolina. How are you?
Hey,
Hi, Mary
from South Carolina. Just South Carolina statewide. You're a kind of a rover.
Yeah, I'm a big girl.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
So you're not telling us where in South Carolina you're from.
I'm just north of Charleston in Somerville.
Oh, Somerville. Okay. Oh. What's going on, Mary?
Well, I don't know if you can help me or not, but I have a 2003 Saturn L200, which I purchased in 2003. When I purchased it, my husband and I made a deal, which was I couldn't retire until the car died.
Oh, well, we know people that can help you with that.
So my question is, after 8 years and 230,000 miles,
wow,
how much longer do you think this car is going to last?
230, you said?
230,000.
230, huh?
Oh, is he responsible for doing the oil changes and all that?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And what do you do for a living, Mary?
We build aircraft down here in South Carolina.
Oh, so you're going to work at that new Boeing plant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
So why would you want to retire? It's a brand new plant. You're gonna have all the, you know.
Well, actually, I do.
Oh, you do.
Someday, yeah. I was hoping 55, but that didn't work.
This car is certainly on borrowed time.
Oh, great.
That being said, that doesn't mean it can't go another 50,000.
So I'm averaging about 30,000 a year. Then, you're saying like a year and a half.
Well, you might be. However, what do you do on weekends?
Well, we use his car on the weekend.
Oh, no, nay. You should start making weekend trips to Arkansas in your car, right? And maybe beyond.
There you go.
Yeah, you want to see the country. You don't want to, and your argument is, look, hon, he obviously has a newer car.
Yeah.
Why should we put miles on your new car when we can in fact drive this one?
Right.
That's the only thing that's going to work.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Or either that or you've got to lend it out to people who are going to drive it a couple of thousand miles on a weekend.
Oh, I can be the manager of the Carpool Association.
Yeah.
There you go. But it's short of doing something nefarious like draining out the oil or whatever, I think you're doomed to keeping this car for the foreseeable future unless you can find some way to add up the miles on it.
Is that cheating?
No, it isn't cheating. I mean, cheating would be draining the oil out. Oh. Yeah.
My brother knows about cheating.
But, so, and maybe cheating might be, for example, leaving the engine running all night when your husband doesn't know about it. But if you lent the car out to people or you took it on long trips, I don't think that's cheating. I think that that's normal use of the car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on my third husband, so I don't want to blow this one.
Well, well, you know, do your best here. We won't give you any more advice than that. Maybe Tommy should advise you on this. He's been through a few spouses himself. So, and if this doesn't work out, we'll give you his number.
I'll give you my number, right?
Okay, so about a year and a half, you think?
Yeah, I think under ordinary circumstances, you might be looking at a year and a half. And don't forget, what if the transmission were to go? There's no reason why he wouldn't want to fix that.
Oh, no. Well, see, he's not allowed. That's part of the deal. It's like if the transmission goes or something major goes where we have to shell out a lot of money.
Oh, so it's going to be something then, over. What's the threshold amount? Is it like $1,500?
It's $1,000, actually. And I'm just waiting for my AC to go.
Do accidents count?
Well, actually, not if they're self-inflicted.
Oh. All right, forget it then. All right, you're on your own, Mary. See you later.
All right.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Oh, she's going to be stuck with this for a long time, I'm afraid. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Brickford. Our engineer is John Dolly Parotti. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Michaela Ross. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from a cruise on the round trip, New York strip, potato chip, pancake flip, black bean dip, whiskey nip, chocolate drip, miracle whip, free lunch laden cargo ship, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Our short order cook is Diego Farisi. Our Italian food critic is Eureka Garlic. Our advice for the lovelorn comes from Joe Takaro. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the disappointed-looking tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
My sentiment exactly. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of the show, which is number 1141, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, boy, do we get hate mail.
Well, in the interest of complete transparency, we continue to be the only major public radio program to publish, for all to see, our most vituperative hate mail.
Is that because we mostly agree with it?
Well, there is that. Plus, it's the only mail that we get. You know, take an entertaining stroll through our hate mail division and see how the other half hates right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though spiders spin out SOS in their webs whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.